from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, the connection's been awesome. I mean, me and Amari have been, you know, even with all the other guys, it's not like he's missed a beat. You know, Amari's always been there. We know what he can do. He's shown that. He's shown that over the offseason. And, the brotherhood, the love, the communication, none of that stuff has missed a beat at all.
Have you talked to Amari at all?
Yeah, most definitely.
Deshaun Watson, from his camp, on his connection with Amari Cooper. And I think it's really interesting. One of the, I don't want to say we've skipped all the interesting storylines of the Browns. I just think we've focused a lot on, can Deshaun Watson live up to his contract? And can the defense? I think if we drill down, one of the more interesting subplots of the new offense, of Amari's contract, of Deshaun being the best version of Deshaun, it is, in this new-look offense, will Deshaun and Amari continue to be what I think they finally showed for the first time last year, where they really were glued together and really were productive together when Deshaun and Amari were on the field together last year?
Listen, I don't think anybody knows that for sure. I just know that those guys definitely have chemistry. There's no question about that.
Which is good, because going into last year, I didn't know.
True.
And those last six games of the season before, Amari kind of disappeared when Deshaun showed up.
And it's great now that they do have some chemistry together. And I don't know. I mean, I certainly think that this contract thing could affect how things proceed throughout the season. I mean, if he's not here for a month of camp or 2 weeks of camp, that's going to affect their timing. It's going to affect, for 2 weeks, Deshaun Watson may be throwing a hell of a lot more to Elijah Moore and Njoku and Jerry Jeudy.
Well, and if it wasn't a new offense, I probably wouldn't be as worried about where we're going to go with this conversation. And worry is a heavy. It's more curious, intrigued, whatever, you know. I just think we take it for granted that Amari Cooper. And it's not just us. The NFL has taken for granted Amari Cooper's incredible production from the start of his career to now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and even in saying he's a one B wide receiver, he's not a true number one. In some ways, that's taking for granted a dude who all he's done is produce. I'm not taking for granted that case this year, because this scheme, if we look at, again, we don't know down to the absolute brass tacks every single thing they're going to do with this offense. But if you start using words like spreading it out, if you start using the idea of four wide-out sets or three wide-out sets and two tight ends or any of the different variations, basically you're not going to go with 11 personnel anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go the single-back sets or the I-form, stuff like that. If we're going to be more out of the shotgun, I think it's a real question how much Amari's value changes this year. And then I think you add this idea of Amari wanting paid and he might miss time in camp. I just think that's a lot of I don't know. A lot of I don't know for a guy that I normally know. Like, normally I would just say, I'm in a pencil.
Normally you know.
And when you know, you know. I always say that.
You have to, What's the acronym for?
I don't know.
You ever done that?
Well, I've done acronyms before, but I need a little bit more clarification here.
IYK. Can you say that?
If you know, you know.
You never done the acronym thing?
I have.
Okay, never mind. I'm having a moment here. And you're not making it any better the way you're looking at me, so I'm just going
to
move on.
I'm sorry for my salt and vinegar eyes. All right, so to get back.
You looked in my soul.
I did.
And I was scared.
I can't help it. I have these just beautiful bluish-green eyes, and it just happens. That being said.
You're using the leprechaun eyes today.
Leprechaun eyes. It's a teal shirt, damn it.
And I saw her face.
Most years, I would pencil, almost every year, I pencil in Amari for 1,200 yards. And just
but you're not this
it.
Year?
No. And that's what makes, like, there is a part, and yesterday I did say this. I'm a little bit, I want this damn to give way. Because I do want Amari here this year. Because I at least want to see it in reality. But there's a part of me that, like, if I think the Browns would be really smart, and if there's a way that you can get Amari to camp without having to pay him money beyond this year, I think that's the best case scenario. Whether that's giving him fresh guaranteed money this year, I'm just trying to think of any way. And here's the reason. Because quite frankly, I don't think he fits the system. I think there is a healthy chance, but I think there's a chance that we come out of this season and we feel wildly different from the wide receiver room. And I think it starts with Jerry Jeudy, who I think this system perfectly fits, what he wants to do and what he's good at. Now, again, this is all under the guise of Deshaun Watson's healthy enough to take advantage of the new offense. But they didn't set this offense up. They actually set this offense up at the expense of what Nick Chubb does best. And if you look at a possession receiver, because that's a connotation. If you look at a guy whose greatest skill set is his route running ability, so not ability to get open by natural speed or by natural strength. Mm-hmm. The spread out offense, we're talking about 3 wide, 4 wide, 5 wide. That's not, I mean, yes, you can be a truly great route runner within the system, but if that's your elite trait, that's not known to be the number one target, the number one skill in this kind of offense. This kind of offense is set up for a pure speed guy who uses his speed to get open, usually in the middle to deep, and that's how dudes go from 800-yard receivers to 1,400
yards. I mean, you're looking at, like, what Buffalo was with their offense and their personnel. I mean, I think that's what you're looking at, right?
Yeah, well, you can go with Buffalo. You can go with what Houston was when Deshaun was at his best. Like, look at any of those guys. They have a calling card that has very little to do with they were elite route runners. They were just fast dudes that got open and Deshaun got him the ball.
Well, look, I think we'll find out like what this offense is going to be. I just don't know that Ken Dorsey's going to come in here with just an idea like, hey, this offense is going to be this way and then we're going to go. Like I think you have to find out like what your personnel does well, mm-hmm, and then go from there. Because obviously it's much different. I mean, you had Josh Allen in Buffalo, mm-hmm, right? I mean, you had Diggs. You had some good tight ends. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of a different deal. And Josh Allen's such a different quarterback than Deshaun Watson.
So this brought us to the conversation of the pre-show. Whether if you could extend Amari right now at Amari's rate, which is of a $25, $26 million receiver, and this comes with, at 30 years of age, a 3 to 4 year deal, or you could extend Elijah Moore, who I think some people have started to wonder, is he on the roster bubble this year? Give him, because he is going to a contract year, if you could extend him at his rate, which honestly I think is somewhere between a number 3 and number 4 receiver. I think in terms of contractual value, I don't think Elijah has a lot of it. So similar to how Jerry Jeudy took the money that was really, they paid him based off who he had been, which was as a number 2 receiver, averaging 800 yards per season. That's what Jerry Jeudy got paid. So, hypothetically, you're doing the same thing for Elijah in this exercise. Mm. It's less, I want to pay Elijah more than I want to pay Amari, and it's more, I'm comfortable with that skill set at that rate in this offense. I need to see less out of Elijah in terms of the fit. He still needs to go out there and actually, become a consistent player, but I think I'm more comfortable paying a lower rate for a more unproven player on a shorter team deal than an older player who I don't know fits this, who I don't know ultimately really fits even the quarterback at this point. 6 months from now, the conversation is totally different for me. But today, I'll give Elijah Moore the smallest piece of the pie, betting on that speed, betting on that upside, than basing my contract on Amari on past production, going into a scenario where there's just a lot of I don't know.
Are you selling yourself on, like, are you distancing yourself on Amari Cooper because you know he's holding out?
No.
Seems like a little bit.
No, it's because I want him here this year. I do want, because this year now becomes, with Amari specifically, proof of concept. And if he passes that test, which again, I think you believe in the player. I believe in the player. I think he will. But I can't pay that dude until he passes that test. Because fit with wide receivers who are not elite fast or elite big, fit matters a lot for great route running receivers. Amari still has good jets. He doesn't have elite jets. He never has. He still can. He had a little bit of physicality. Well,
I mean, listen, when you're 30, and I mean, he once was a 4-5 guy, right? Maybe high four fours.
I think 4-5, yeah, somewhere in there.
Whatever. Maybe mid 4-4s when he was coming out of college.
I mean, it's like 4-4-9.
Been, you know, been, you know, 9 years, 8 years.
No, I'm not. I want to make it clear. Like, there is a world in which I'm comfortable extending Amari. But I just continue to look back at this and say, if they came out tomorrow, we're going to pay Elijah Moore. He's going to get $5 million guaranteed, and he's got an extension after this year, and he's going to get a little extra guaranteed money this year. I'm not going to bat an eye at it. But if they tomorrow came out and said, we're going to pay Amari $26 million a year and all the guaranteed money, and it's a four-year deal, that could age really poorly. You could get 5 games into the season, and Jerry Jeudy is your number one target, or I don't think it will happen.
There's a big word there, and it's called could. And I am in the business of knowing, or at least hoping I know, what the player's going to give me.
Good for Roberto Shenanigans to come in and completely misconstrue what I said.
Shenanigans. Say Shenanigans one more time.
Hey, what's that restaurant you like with all the goofy bleep on the walls? You mean Shenanigans?
You remind me of Landfill.
Thank you. I feel more like I'd rather remind you of his brother.
Want a liter Coke? Or liter soda?
You're now just mixing up all the
words?
All the different characters from the Broken Lizard.
What was Landfill's brother?
It was Gil. Remember?
His name was Gil?
Yeah, remember, he was Gil. And then they wanted to be called Landfill. So it's like he never died. That's such a stupid and funny thing. I stopped short of calling Amari a possession receiver because that's not what I said he is. I started to say that and then said he is a route running receiver, that's his elite trait.
Well, to be fair, like, I didn't say you said he was a possession receiver.
No, Roberto Shenanigans did. Because he's doing the thing where he misallocates what I say or misconstrue what I say on purpose because he wants people on social media to like him.
Well, that's going to help.
Yeah. Maybe today's
That's going to help him like you.
Maybe today's one of the 7% of times I actually care. You never know. And now we welcome on one of our favorite guests here. She's a legend, and she's a killer. I don't know what that really even means. She does a great job for Cleveland.com and for The Plain Dealer.
Just call her the GOAT, man.
I feel like once you get GOAT status, we're talking about somebody at the end of their career, she's just getting started.
She's in her prime.
Yeah, she is. She's like David and Joku.
She's like Djokovic.
We went two very different directions. Mary Kay Cabot joins us on the North Homestead.
We had a joke.
Yeah, we did. We settled somewhere there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I don't know if I can live up to all of those accolades, but thank you guys.
That's actually my subtle way of putting pressure on you, is I build you up so much that it's now on you to do the thing you do every time, in fairness. Now I realize I think we've reached the end of this bit. Mary Kay, what is the latest on the Amari Cooper situation? Should we expect him showing up next week for the Browns?
You know, I actually think that he will. I think there is a path forward here. I think the two sides can come together and come up with something that works for both. it might not be, you know, a long-term thing. Maybe it's more of a stopgap measure for now. Who knows? But I do think that they can try to do something that is a win-win for both sides to get this thing moving forward.
So with that, do you think this is likely to be like a four-year deal? You said stopgap, right? So do we know kind of what that might look like, the compromise?
Well, I don't know if that is what's going to happen, but that's one option that I have been writing about. They, you know, they can either do some kind of an extension, a two-year deal, maybe I would think somewhere in the mid-20s or something like that, or they can add to this year's contract and revisit it either sometime around the trade deadline or after the season if they wanted to extend him beyond this year. So there are a number of ways to go about it, but there are enough options that I think they should be able to find one that makes everyone pretty happy.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the hotline. Mary Kay, was it necessary to, and I love him, by the way, he's got a great name, Dustin Hopkins, was it necessary to extend him?
Well, you know, that's one position that was very shaky for the Browns for a while there. And we've all seen what can happen to a team that has a shaky kicker situation. You want to be solid, especially in this weather. Even when Andrew Berry was talking about Dustin Hopkins in the release today, he talked about it being the most difficult kicking environment in the NFL. And he's not too far off. I can't think of many that are worse than this. So Dustin came in, he settled the thing down, and now you know when you have an important game-winning kick at the end of the game, he's going to make it for you. And that's what they have to have right now.
Mary Kay, obviously Amari is front and center here because he held out for mini camps, and you know that's very much on the forefront here. But what other potential contract situations could be on the horizon for the Browns before the regular season begins in September?
You know, I really don't think that there's anything else that's imminent or that needs to get done right away. There are a number of other guys that are in a situation to have their contracts extended or redone, but I don't know that there's anything else right now that is on the absolute front burner. I mean, you look at a guy like JOK, and you know the linebacker market isn't going to be skyrocketing anytime soon, so there's not necessarily a sense of urgency there. I think they're pretty well set at most of their positions. I think the two key things heading into camp were going to be Dustin and then Amari.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com. Another Browns player who recently talked about his contractual situation on a podcast with Ty Dunn, the great guard Wyatt Teller. I'm curious about that situation because obviously Joel's getting older. There's a chance that, you know, this could be Joel's last year, all these kind of things. They've got decisions to make at the tackle spots. I would like me some Wyatt Teller long term here. When do you think those conversations become a thing for the Browns and Wyatt?
Again, I don't think that it's anything that they feel like they have to do before they head down to the Greenbrier or before they get back from there or before they even start this season. But Wyatt is certainly an integral part of this offensive line. He's just a key player for these guys, especially with, you know, Bill Callahan gone and a lot of changes on the line and some injuries here or there. He's been, you know, a rock of stability at guard there, and they, you know, they obviously want to keep him as long as they can.
Mary Kay, you know, speaking of why, you know, he was on this podcast with Ty Dunn, who we had on earlier in the show today. You know, and one of the questions he was asked about, talked about, was Baker Mayfield, and you know, he said basically, you know, had things been differently 2 years ago, had he what Nick? What was the exact wording of it?
I mean, he basically said if Baker kind of takes a step back.
Yeah.
He calms down a
gets
little bit.
Gets comfortable and all that stuff, yeah.
And maybe doesn't take the adult in the room personally.
Right.
That he'd still be the Browns quarterback.
Yeah, do you believe that, Mary Kay?
You know what? It really is hard to say. I do think that they were prepared to move forward with him until the Deshaun situation presented itself. They, even though there was some bad blood there, even though Baker didn't feel as though he could work effectively with Kevin Stefanski, they were fully prepared to put that aside and move forward and have him be the quarterback. And when the Deshaun thing happened, then obviously that changed everything and cooler heads didn't prevail. But I just don't know if I don't know if it would have been up to Baker to make that determination. I think it more so would have been up to the Browns to decide if they wanted to start over with Deshaun.
Mary Kay, do you think that the Browns, anyone in that organization, regrets how it ended with Baker and then the decision to make the Deshaun trade, given that it's 2 years in and we're still asking when?
No, I don't think so. I think they did what they did for, you know, for the purpose of getting to the Super Bowl. They did not feel like they were going to do that with Baker Mayfield, especially in this very tough AFC North. They didn't see that happening. They saw an opportunity to get an elite quarterback. And I think that they would do the same thing again if they had it to do all over again. I mean, at that moment, that's, you know, that's exactly what they felt they needed to get to where they wanted to go. Now, in hindsight, I still think they probably would do it again based on the fact that they still firmly believe that Deshaun Watson can get them to the promised land.
Mary Kay, you know, just back to Amari, I want to circle back for a minute here. This offense is going to be new. We know that, you know, Ken Dorsey comes in. Sort of all we have to go on is, you know, his resume and tape we saw from Buffalo. With that being said, you know, more speed receivers, you know, more intermediate stuff. And Nick and I talked about it a little earlier in the show. Do you think this could potentially diminish the role for Amari Cooper?
You know, that's hard to say. Some of the, you know, the best receiver routes you're going to see this season are going to be those choice routes, those option routes. And the receiver who can do that is really going to take off in this offense. And so we'll have to see how that goes. But I still think that Amari Cooper is going to be the star that he's been for this football team, get the targets that he's gotten. Deshaun knows what he's capable of, and he's going to get him the ball. And so I don't think that his role would be diminished. I actually think that, you know, that he'll get more targets and have even more production in this offense.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We had a conversation about pressure with Deshaun. And I think, I'm going to kind of speak for everybody at the station. It feels like most people agree at this station that Deshaun has as much, if not the most, pressure on himself going into this season as any quarterback in the NFL. Do you agree with that line of thinking?
You know, I haven't really thought about it in those terms. I would guess that Dak Prescott has an absolute ton of pressure on himself as well, considering how high the stakes are in Dallas and how they went 12-4 last year and then bowed out in the first round of the playoffs like the Browns did. So I think the pressure on him is very, very high. I think the pressure on Joe Burrow is going to be high again this year. Same thing with Lamar to achieve some things in the playoffs that they haven't. So I don't know that I would put Deshaun number one up on that list, but he's certainly up there, maybe in the top five or six.
So with that, as we continue on here, trying to look at other spots here. I very rarely do this. I'm gonna stake a claim here. If DeJuan Jones does not start at tackle this year, I'm going to be very grumpy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you make of the tackle situation heading into training camp just 2 weeks away?
Well, some of it is going to depend on which of those tackles are healthy enough to get out there and start a football game come September 8th. Right now, they've got three guys coming off of knee injuries. DeWand is the healthiest of the three. And then I guess they have to wait and see who is number two in terms of health going into the season. And the two healthiest guys will start the season. So if Jed isn't ready to go yet, then you'll see Jack and DeWand out there. And, you know, and that just might be how it is for the little, you know, first couple weeks of the season or so.
Mary Kay, is it possible that some players on this team were potentially happy to see Bill Callahan go?
I don't think so. I don't remember, you know, anybody ever feeling that way about Bill. I would say that Bill coaches those guys really hard, and I know that a guy like Wyatt Teller has had his moments, and we've even seen DeJuan Jones have his moments with Bill Callahan, but from everything that I can tell, those guys accepted and embraced the hard coaching of Bill Callahan. And at this point, you know, I would be surprised to find out that some guys were happy to see him go.
Mary Kay, you are writing a series of the 15 keys to a Browns Super Bowl run. I did read one of those keys today where you talked about the quarterback gauntlet the Browns have to face. And I'm most interested in a matchup, which is the Browns facing off in the regular season against Pat Mahomes. Do you think if the Browns do manage to beat Pat Mahomes in the regular season this year, is that the thing that can that should make us all flip the switch and say the Browns are legit Super Bowl contenders?
Well, maybe. I think the key here, when I look at the quarterback situation and the opposing quarterbacks that they're going to face this year, they will be ready for the playoffs this year if they face this formidable gauntlet of quarterbacks. By the time they get to the playoffs, if everyone stays healthy, they, of course, will have faced Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson twice. So they're going to be ready. Last year, I think they were almost lulled into a false sense of security about themselves and their number one defense. And by the time they got to the playoffs, they were not ready for what hit them in Houston. And part of that was because when you look at their last four games and the quarterbacks that they played, they were just not necessarily teeing off against the best of the best. And I think it hurt them. So this year, I think they're going to be ready. So whether or not they beat Patrick Mahomes in the regular season, once they face him in the playoffs, I think they will be battle-tested.
So final question for me, Mary Kay. If Deshaun Watson doesn't play well this year, what are the ramifications? Like, he's not going anywhere, right?
No, he's not going anywhere because if he doesn't play well for whatever reason, you know, you're not going to be able to unload $46 million a year on average. So it's not like somebody's just going to be waiting to accept a quarterback who didn't perform up to standards at that price. So, no, I can't honestly say that I think it would be easy to just unload him. But I just don't think anybody's thinking along those lines. I don't think anybody's doing that hypothetical thing with him. I really do think that this organization has watched him throughout the preseason and throughout minicamp, and they really do believe that he is the Deshaun they traded for, and optimism is very high.
So I know you, and I mean, we've all talked about how this shoulder injury, there's just not a precedent for an NFL quarterback coming off that specific shoulder injury. But at the same point, it sure seems like the Browns are pretty confident that Deshaun is back. Is there any lingering doubt about that shoulder and the ability to hold up for 17 games, or is the confidence even the players seem to be sharing kind of outwardly, is that really where this organization is with Deshaun's shoulder health?
It really is. That is exactly how everyone feels. No one is worried about a setback. No one is worried about him taking a hit. No one is worried about the arm strength. I saw the arm strength with my own two eyes at minicamp, and I was very, very impressed with what I saw. So really, it's just a matter of letting it play out and seeing if it goes the way they all expect it to go. But there are no, you know, no one is harboring any fears that this isn't going to go well.
All right. So we talked about there was an incident that I saw the other day on real quick. You all right there, Dustin?
Yep.
Sorry, Mary Kay.
No, I banged my knee
Dustin
pretty good.
Dustin just knocked his knee into but I didn't know if there was something else going on. All right.
No, it was just an accident.
Five alarm fire averted here, Mary Kay.
We have avoided
disaster.
Serious disaster, yeah. Yes,
or potential season-ending injury. So getting back to the actual point where I was going there, Mary Kay, sorry.
It wasn't ADD my throwing shoulder, thankfully.
Thank God. But I saw something happen the other day that involved the Cleveland police that blew my mind. Have you ever seen anyone make a citizen's arrest in your entire adult life?
I have not. No, I have not.
I feel like it's got to be a thing, because I know we can do that in Ohio. I know you can do it in North Carolina. I got to see a citizen's, or I got to make a citizen's arrest before I die.
Well, why don't you do that?
Well, because
you got to find some crime.
Yeah, well, like we were trying to establish.
I know,
like,
a couple areas you could head on out to.
How did Nick Wilson die? Searching for a citizen's arrest. Mary Kay.
What do they put on your gravestone?
Dumbass. That's what they put there.
Here lies a dumbass.
Here lies a moron. Mary Kay, great stuff. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much.
Mary Kay Cabot there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I think what's interesting, I really like where Mary Kay went at the end of that, talking about, you know, yeah, the pressure's high on Deshaun, but she thinks there's pressure on Joe Burrow and Lamar. I think that injury pressure, which is probably the place I would say, there's nothing worse. And every, whether you're a professional athlete or not, we've all had a moment in our life where we've had to doubt our physical ability. And dude, it's there. Like when that's the kind of like thing that can cause people to unravel. So I think if there's pressure on Deshaun beyond just the normal pressure of being an NFL quarterback, I do think coming off the injury, I could see there being, you want to prove to people that you can stay healthy and that this, and you want to prove to yourself more than anything.
Sure.
I think there's got to be that same thing for Joe. Joe Burrow, I'm a little stymied at how we spent multiple years saying Lamar Jackson can't stay healthy. And yet Joe has had two very significant season-ending injuries here. And even when he has been healthy enough to play, he's been playing through fairly significant injuries. And he's coming from a wrist injury that even doctors have said he'll be healthy enough to play, but it's probably going to be 2 years before that rebuilt wrist is where you can really trust it to the degree of as if it had never been hurt. But yet we're not having that conversation. I don't know why. It's just more of a, I think that's interesting. I'll tell you, I actually can answer it. It's that because there were people who doubted Lamar was actually any good. Despite the fact that Lamar, and it's because of his style of play. Despite the fact that Lamar had been an MVP, and then he had the injuries, which then caused some of the passing numbers to drop, there was the, well, he can't do that again. With Joe, there has been, the second that guy was good, because he's a pocket passing quarterback, and because he's, you know, been in the Super Bowl, it is no more questions, even if they're actual legitimate injury questions. Like, think about it. Think about the pressure on Joe if he gets hurt this year. Like, seriously hurt, if the wrist gets hurt again. We're starting to venture into Andrew Luck territory of consistently being hurt in a significant way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Luck was hurt every year, right? I mean, something.
Which is funny, because he was actually pretty healthy until like year four. Because you remember the first 3 or 4 years of Andrew being in Indy, they were a playoff team. And that first year was with Pagano, where Bruce Arians took over and Pagano had cancer and that whole thing. So Andrew was pretty healthy. It was the sustained, you didn't give the guy an offensive line until like year five, and at that point it was too late. Which, ironically, is the exact same thing the Cincinnati Bengals have done. Like, it's so funny, dude. Like, I'm a little skeptical at the Jets' offensive line, because the Jets have just brought in like four new guys. I don't know that that's going to work out, but because it's four new guys, everybody goes, oh, the Jets have got it. Well, yeah, I like Smith in Dallas, too. He's also older and injury prone. I used to like several of the guys they had, and then injuries or age have hit that offensive line in other places before they came to New York. Cincinnati did not adequately address the offensive line until last year. Orlando Brown was a good decision. Alex Kappa was not. This year, I think they've just rearranged the deck chairs in the Titanic. And so I think that's a scenario. And I'm so glad, because I would not have called out Joe Burrow out of the top of my mind. But I think when you factor in, there's a historical precedence of the Bengals being chintzy or just not getting the combination right on the offensive line, and Joe's injury history and the weight of expectations. All I've heard this year are, well, Joe's going to be healthy and they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. People are saying with the Browns, it's, well, yeah, if Deshaun's healthy, they could be a Super Bowl contender. Deshaun's had one significant injury in 4 years. Yeah, I just think, again, it's just interesting to me.
Dude, you know how this goes, man. If he plays good and looks like, not even saying he has to look like 2020, because that's 4 years ago, man. Most people, especially in athletics, don't look the exact same in 4 years. Especially when you're, you know, part of that time you're not playing. So if he can just get back to being, like I said before, like above an average quarterback to start and progress to get better and better. I'm saying, like, start the season and be a pretty decent quarterback. Pretty okay, good. That's a start. Just don't be a bad quarterback, because the offense and the defense is so damn good and the coaching's excellent. You're going to have a chance. Just don't bleep it up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.